On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
Welcome to the Knackered Golfist podcast. You are joining me in my car as I make a pit stop at home to get this piece of recording equipment and on my way to the grocery store to pick up some food for the week and possibly get some gas. So you're going to be first in line to hear how much it actually is going to cost me to put gas in my tank in this episode, and depending on where you are in the world, it may or may not be more or less what you are paying. So I'm in Northern California, so I'm assuming it's going to be a lot. And I just played 18 holes, and I just noticed now that there's wildfire air looking in the air that's ominous that I did not notice when I was playing golf. So I got up earlier today to watch the, it's 100 degrees right now. Today is July 10th, 2022, and Xander Schauffele is your Genesis Scottish Open champion for 2022. And he won today in Scotland at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland. And he was, you know, one of those cool, calm, and collected days where he was, you know, flipping the grip all the day and nice slow tempo and smacking that ball around that course. And he did well over there. So he won, and so he's a favorite to win the Open next week at St. Andrews. And that is going to be an amazing event. And by the way, I just figured out that the PGA Tour is going to make a stop in Northern California next week at the Barracuda Championship at the old Greenwood Golf Course, the Nicklaus Course, I guess is what it is. And in accordance with summer time of the year, there are wildfires going on right now, and that course is going to be underneath a cloud of wildfire smoke that those players are going to have to deal with while they're out there. And so last year, the South African Eric Van Rooyen won the tournament, and I think it may have been the week before or week after the British Open, and it was, he had that Raleigh Fingers mustache going on, and it was really cool. And I think he played for Callaway back then. He may be playing with somebody else now, but anyway, I got inspired to play golf today after seeing Xander Schauffele win, and CBS did a really good broadcast with the Scottish Open. And you had Jim Nantz was back after maybe 3 or 4 weeks off, and he sounded like he had a cold on that broadcast. I don't know if you mentioned that or not, but to me he sounded like he had a cold. And you had Nick Faldo talking about the close proximity course that was next to that course, which was Muirfield, where he won two British Opens there at Muirfield in 87 and also in 92. And Muirfield is an amazing place to play golf, and I'd love to see Scotland one day. And I'd love to, and I was watching some of the No Laying Up Tourist Sauce episode where they actually got on at St. Andrews as singles, and I didn't think, they didn't play together, so that was a really good episode. And then on the tee, Tron Carter, you know, he was nerding out on that. It was so funny. So anyway, going to be a lot of Rick Shields this week on YouTube talking about the Open and how historic it is. You know, I've already seen him try to hole 150 putts on one of the green complexes there at St. Andrews. It was fun with a lady named Iona Stevens, I think, who I'm wondering if she's from Scotland or not, because I know that Rick Shields isn't. He's from Bolton, England, in the UK. I think that's what it's called, Bolton, England. And I enjoyed it. I enjoy that. I enjoy all that sort of leading up to the tournament kind of stuff. I like that. And so he's making a name for himself out there with his YouTube channel. I think he might very well be the highest rated golf YouTube channel in the world online right now. So something to... I enjoy Rick Shields, and I enjoy what he does, and it's cool. Anyway, got inspired to go play golf at a local course here in my neck of the woods. Bear in mind, it's 102 degrees out today, and I was able to go out and play golf at Cherry Island Golf Course in Alberta, California. And I was inspired. It was only $30 to play. I got a cart, and the course has a bit of history in my city. Growing up in Sacramento, for years there was the Big Three golf courses to be able to play, the Big Three par 72 courses to be played in Sacramento. It was Ansel Hoffman, Hagen Oaks, and then Bing Maloney. Those were the Big Three for years, and those were the only courses that you could actually play that were par 72 back in the 70s and 80s. Well, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Hagen Oaks was built in 1932, and then I don't really know when Bing Maloney was built, and I think that Ansel Hoffman was built, it could be 1960 or maybe 1967, 57, I'm not exactly sure, but that was in the sort of the Carmichael area. The F.E. Yaw Nature Center is also there, sort of the American River Parkway, where people can go have a picnic or go to the river or play golf at Ansel Hoffman. Ansel Hoffman happens to be my favorite course in Sacramento. And I played it last week during July 4th weekend. But today, Cherry Island is the other... And Ansel Hoffman is run by the county of Sacramento. And Cherry Island is the other Sacramento County golf course that is out in Alberta, and it's next to Antelope Greens Golf Course, and there's also a place called Gibson Ranch that people go and have a picnic and enjoy a day at the park. So it's it was built in 1990, and I say 1990 because I mean that's the year that it was built, and it was in an era when the persimmon wood was going away and the metal wood was coming out. And I think the oversized metal wood was coming out, and it was taking the world by storm. And so the design of the course is a bit sort of quirky, because when they opened that course, they actually had the front nine. They played the front nine on what actually is the back nine today. And so the first hole used to be a short par four that required you to have a layup on that hole with like a six iron or something. And then you would have to sort of, have your second shot to the green, and you'd get on and whatever. But then in the era of when the metal driver was out, people thought they could drive the green, and it just took forever to play that course, and it was so long, and it took such a very long time just because of people not being very good to play that course as far as skill goes, and just backing it up for everybody. Just the amount of skill you need to play that course is a bit more than the average golfer to be successful. So as a result, the nines were switched, and what used to be the back nine is now the front nine, and what used to be the front nine is now the back nine. And I think it works. Yeah, it works a bit better. The front nine is actually a par. It's actually par 37. And then the back nine is par 35. And it's still a 72. It's a par 72. But I actually, when I started today, there's a bunch of layup stuff you got to do on that course. You got to really place your shot well. And it can be a bit difficult, especially, and this is something that I noticed all throughout my round, is that the course was sort of not maintained very well. And I honestly don't think that the fairways have been mowed in at least a week, because they were the same height as the rough. And I hit a few shots in the fairway, and the grass was actually the same height as the rough. And for $30, you know, that's a bit of a downer. That's a bit of sticker shock regret there. You know, paying $30 and the fairways aren't even mowed, and the greens surrounds were not mowed. The tees weren't mowed. I mean, this is going into a summer weekend, and the lack of maintenance on this course is pretty evident. And there's also a lot of established trees, a lot of sycamore trees that are dropping their leaves. And you know, you can tell that the trees are actually overgrown and they need some maintenance, and there's broken branches here and there. And the trees are really, really full, and they need to be trimmed to, you know, prolong the overall health of the tree for the golf course. And, you know, it's sort of a work in progress. The place needs a bit of tender, loving care. And I thought that, you know, the course conditioning can actually be detrimental to your score if you're playing in a way that you're, you know, if you don't get the favorable bounces that you need, or the favorable, or how do I put this? The course conditioning can be it can be detrimental to your round if you're trying to shoot well and you're not doing that well. Oh my God, this U-Haul truck is going to get nailed by this cart. Nope, it missed it. Anyway, so I shot 46 on the front nine, and it was really a bear to get through that, because it was 97 degrees. I was drinking my water like a madman. But I got to commend a gentleman, the marshal named Lucky, who came out and checked in on me every couple holes. And he said, "Hey, I got some water. Do you want some water?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine, you know," or, "Hey, fill me up here." That was really cool to have a guy going around checking on people. And that was good customer service on his end. And him and I had a great conversation about historic auto racing. And if anybody's interested, I do a historic auto racing podcast that him and I connected on. I gave him a business card on it. And so we talked a little bit about historic sports car racing and cars that he saw back in the late 70s, early 80s at Laguna Seca in Monterey. And we had a big chuckle with that. That was so cool. But, you know, the front nine was really tough. And there was a few, and I don't know if the yard... Oh, one other thing that really was annoying is that there was no yardage markers anywhere. And there's no... I mean, the Sacramento County golf courses really used to do a good job at yardage marking their course. I know at Ansel Hoffman last week, the course was really well marked as far as yardages to the center of the green. And they had, I played the gold tees last week, but this week they just had the blue tees, and I played the blue tees. So I got to look at the slope and actually the total yards of that course when I get a chance. Oh, 6,511. So that's a decent sized course. I shot 83 today, 46 on the front, and then I didn't think I shot very well on the back, but I only shot 2 over on the back. And I thought my round was just completely dreadful, but it wasn't that bad. It's only 11 over par. It's not that bad. 83 total score. And I shot 71 at Davis Golf Course back on Friday, and I had a really good time doing that. But sometimes you really gotta get through what sort of conditions are going on in the course, and you just gotta muddle through it. You gotta stay strong-minded about it. And you have to get through it. You gotta, you know, make an adjustment with your putting stroke or whatever it is. Or because I was on the front nine, my putter face was open. I was using that Ping Go In putter, and my putter face was open, and the putts weren't going where I was aiming it. And so it was leaking off to the right, my putting stroke, and so I sort of closed the face a bit, and I changed to my, I have a Ping Answer putter that I used for the back nine, and I closed the face a little bit, and I found myself being more consistent with the putting, and actually more sort of online. I actually had a birdie on the back nine, and so that was cool. I had a birdie on, I think it was the 12th hole, so which is the par five. So anyway, it was really tough playing that course because the course, like I said before, was really, you know, sort of poorly maintained. And, man, the cups were good. The cups were changed this morning, and the greens were mowed, but just everything else around the course wasn't mowed. And you really had a, it was really a struggle to find your ball in the fairway or in the rough. And it really sort of slowed down my round trying to go around and trying to find where my ball landed. And if it was underneath a tree that had a bunch of sycamore leaves around it, you know, it was really hard, and I spent quite a bit of time trying to find the ball when I didn't really have to if the course was mowed. You know, the course was mowed. I don't know what sort of problems this place has. I believe they water the course too much because there's a lot of Dallas grass and there's a lot of crabgrass growing up, and it doesn't need, I mean, it's not up to me to make that decision, but when you have Dallas grass and crabgrass, that means that the course is watered too much. There was a lot of excess puddling around the in areas there were heads that were leaking, and there were these valve and head heads, there's seepage in the things aren't closing. The valves aren't closing, and they need some maintenance. So this place needs a lot of help. And for $30 with a newer irrigation system, it wasn't the greatest value that I think that compared to Davis Golf Course being the value that I hold highly at $24 for 18 holes and a cart. I really think that Cherry Island is pushing it, charging people $30 for a shoddily maintained course. So anyway, I don't plan on going back there anytime soon. I don't think I'll go back, but Lucky was a really great person to meet, and I really enjoyed talking to him. And he was really attentive on people out there on the course, making sure they were hydrated. And that was good to see him, and I had really good conversations with him. I stopped and talked to him like 3 or 4 times. There was once on the 10th hole, he offered water to me, and then I saw this Boeing 747 coming in to McClellan Air Force Base to fill up on the fire suppression powder. And that was amazing seeing that fly in. And he's like, yeah, that thing flies in and out every day. They're always flying over the golf course. And then we stopped again on the sixth hole. We talked about drivers, and he got a new Ping driver that he likes. He got it at Sacramento National, and we had a good conversation about stuff. And then I saw him again. He was going in to fill up some water, and then I talked to him later about historic sports car racing, and he was talking to me about photography and how you can take a class at Sacramento City College for a reasonable amount of money, and you can have some really good skills going to there, learning about photography. Really good classes. So really, really cool guy. Really insightful, thoughtful person. And thank you, Lucky, for that exchange that we had. I really had a good time out there playing golf, meeting you, and I think you're doing a good job out there. So I think that about sums it up. You know, there's a thing, you know, I think that, in my opinion, I like the courses that were built like in the 60s that are well maintained nowadays, and they haven't been renovated. They've just been steadily and consistently maintained. I really like those golf courses, and usually they're They may or may not be par 72 courses, like Davis Golf Course that was built in 1964, and I got to find out when Ansel Hoffman was built. But, I mean, I like that layout. I like the challenging. I mean, Davis Golf Course, granted, has really wide fairways, and Ansel Hoffman has established trees that make it really tight as far as driving goes, and the round can be a bit slow if you're playing those golden tees. But it's a really challenging. There's a degree of challenge. There's a challenge factor that you want to have in a golf course that makes you want to come back, that you like the design of. I mean, what brings you back to a golf course? Is it maintenance? I mean, for me, it's maintenance. If a course is well maintained, I'm going to come back. And if a course has firm greens with good cups, I'm going to come back. If stuff isn't mowed around, you know, places where your ball's going to land, I'm not going to come back. And so that's an essential to me, is to maintain the course where somebody can actually find their ball in the rough. And if the rough is going to be the same length as the fairway, I'm not coming back. So anyway, I think I'm going to sign off for now. I got to get some groceries for the family and some gas for this week. So I'm really looking forward to next week at the Open Championship at St. Andrews, and it's going to be a really, really great week, filled with history, filled with nostalgia, filled with golf. I got, you know, the freaking Barracuda Championships happening at that course in Truckee, and it's going to be during the Open, and I actually considered going to that, but I can't because I have other plans. But I don't know. I'm looking forward. Oh, and then this is going to be my fifth round. So when I post my score of 83, I'm probably going to get a handicap number. So I'm going to see what I get tonight when I enter in my score. So anyway, thanks for listening to the Knackered Golfist podcast, and have a great week and happy St. Andrews week. Thanks again for listening. Good night.
You are listening live to the Knackered Golfist podcast on WTKG News Radio 2080.
On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. This is the Knackered Golfist Radio Network.